From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes. Glad that you're with us. We have a great panel this afternoon. Two fantastic entrepreneurs from around DeKalb County. And then our third guest is the first ever repeat guest in the history of DeKalb Business Today. So obviously, she's pretty special. We'll introduce all of them coming up in just a second. But first, I want to remind you, DeKalb Business Radio is on social media. You follow us on Twitter, at DeKalb Radio X. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. And of course, check out the podcast. You're listening to us live at DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. You can always download us for free on iTunes. So let's introduce that panel I mentioned earlier. Our first guest comes to us from Dunwoody, Adrian Duncan with SDOC Publishing Internet Solutions. Adrian, thank you for being here.
Thanks. Great to be here, Matt.
So tell us a little bit about how you got started in this business.
Well, I was originally involved with clinical research at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston back in the late 1990s, and I managed databases and wrote consent forms. And there were some short courses offered in HTML programming. And I took a new position, and they said, oh, you know HTML. Have we got a job for you? And I ended up upgrading the website for the pancreatic cancer study group. And it became wildly successful, and I was appointed to the Internet Advisory Committee for the entire hospital. From there, I took the experience that I gained from working for the hospital and applied it to smaller businesses, and I formed SDOC in 2001.
Technology is this ever-changing beast. Are you having to keep up?
Constantly.
How do you keep up?
Every time you create a new project, you're learning something. You bring something old that you learned in the past, and you learn something new as you go. That's the only way to keep up, is to learn by doing.
We'll look forward to talking more about your business with you and talk about your blog as well. You're active in the community. I want to talk about that as well. But let's get to our second guest now, Jennifer Moore, the team leader for Keller Williams Realty Midtown, managing partner of Moore Commercial Group. Jennifer, we appreciate you being here.
Thanks.
So tell us a little bit about your new lead as team leader, or your new role as team leader. What does that mean?
So as a team leader, we are responsible for managing the people. It's a people puzzle. Everything in life is about people. And so it's relationship game to recruit and consult and coach and help the agents to build businesses worth owning.
How long have you been at Keller Williams?
I've been at Keller Williams almost 3 years. I've been in and around real estate for the last 20 years.
And so it seems like there's probably, I don't know, in Metro Atlanta, hundreds, maybe thousands of realtors, probably dozens of different real estate agencies. What sets Keller Williams apart?
Keller Williams is the largest agency, real estate agency in the world. In the United States right now, we have a count of 200,000 agents. And we really view ourselves more as a consulting company. We're a consulting and training company. And so we help people to build businesses worth owning and lives worth living in communities where we want to live.
We'll look forward to hearing more about Moore Commercial Group and Keller Williams coming up. Our third guest, the one who is, she's making history today, our first ever repeat guest, because she's just that good, Diane Conklin, who you heard, I think she was on our second show probably. But Complete Marketing Systems, coming to us from Stone Mountain. Diane, good morning. Or good afternoon, I guess.
It is afternoon.
12:04.
That's right. Good afternoon, Matt. It's good to be back.
Absolutely. So you got a big event coming up.
I do. October 8th, 9th, and 10th right here in Atlanta.
What is it? You kind of give us in a nutshell what people are going to get out of this. You have small, medium, big-sized business owners, entrepreneurs coming to you. What are they getting?
Well, you know, one of the things that I know is that business is about implementation. It's not about motivation and inspiration. And so many times when you go to an event, you know, you sit in a room and you get talked to, and you learn. But then what happens? You go home and it ends up, it's shelf help, right? You put it on the shelf. You get so involved in what you're doing in your business again that you don't implement anything. And so, you know, one of my big visions was I wanted to change that. And so at this particular event, we do about 75% of the time we're implementing, which means you're working on things in your business that you haven't done, that you've put off, that you need to do. But what makes this particular one unique, because I do an event about every 100 days, but the only one that I do in the fall, we do a financial plan and we do a marketing plan. And that is one of the things that really sets this apart from any other event that I've ever attended or been to or heard about.
Now, you're a well-regarded motivational public speaker. You've shared the stage with a lot of huge names. Is this motivational speaking? Is this more hands-on, kind of one-on-one?
It's hands-on. There's no more than 50 people that will be there with me, and I do that on purpose because about, like I said, about 75% of the time, people are, it's great fun and it's innovative, but they're doing things in the room, and it allows me, the reason I call it implementation coaching is because this small event allows me to go around the room and answer questions and to do some real one-on-one kind of work with people so that they get out of the event what they want. It's not about me, it's about what they want.
Awesome. We'll look forward to talking more about the event, talking more about different ways that businesses can help themselves, maybe hurting themselves, and different things like that when it comes to marketing. This is DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. Let's get back to our first guest, Adrian Duncan from SDOC Publishing Internet Solutions. So talk to me a little bit about mobile websites and mobile marketing, because obviously you have a desktop or a laptop computer, but more and more people are just doing stuff on their phone.
They certainly are. In 2015, having a mobile-friendly website is an essential. It is no longer optional. In fact, of April this year, Google changed their search algorithm, the programming that they use to rank search engines. Mobile-friendly websites will be ranked higher than websites that are not mobile-friendly for a given search. In my community, there are a lot of notable websites for major institutions that got a very nasty shock on April 21st when that algorithm rolled out because they're just not mobile friendly and they're very difficult to use on a phone.
Are companies just behind the times? Does it cost them more to set up a mobile website? What's the problem?
Well, technology has changed, just like you said before, and mobile use has exploded. Only 4 years ago, I thought that mobile internet development was optional. And 4 years ago, it was, but it's 4 years later now. And about 65% of all people making purchasing decisions are using their phone to do it. So being mobile means being agile enough to reach those customers wherever they are.
What makes a website mobile friendly? What kinds of features?
Basically, it's just comfortable to read on a phone. That means that the elements are resized and the font size in the text is changed so that it's comfortable to read on a smaller screen. That's what it comes down to. There are more than one way to do this for a developer, but my personal favorite is what's called responsive design. It's when the theme of your website, the look and feel of it, detects the size of the screen that it's being displayed on, and then it rearranges itself to line up accordingly.
Is this an extra cost to businesses, or is this just another aspect of their typical, I mean, with companies that you're working with, if you're going to design their website or set up their website, is this just an extra thing, or is this now expected as part of the package?
Well, I always make sure that it's included. I can't speak for other companies, but in my opinion, if your web developer is not including a mobile-friendly design, you're not getting your money's worth.
How is it different from your end when you're designing these websites to set up a regular website versus a mobile website?
Well, there are some people who will write two different themes and for two different devices. I prefer to write one theme and then test it out on different devices to make sure everything's lining up correctly. That way the website visitor gets approximately the same experience regardless of what device that they're using.
Is it important to these companies, is it important to consumers to make sure that the website and the mobile website are similar, have similarities? They're not going to be 100% the same, but to have some level of similarity?
Absolutely, because you want to make sure that your customers know that they're in the right place. You don't want to send them to your competition because your website is so hard to read.
You're listening to DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio. Adrian Duncan, our guest with SDOC Publishing Internet Solutions. I'm sorry to cut you off there. I want to ask you, though, the impact that you've seen of companies developing mobile websites and adopting mobile websites, an increase to their bottom line, I would imagine.
Yes, as a matter of fact, about 65% of all purchasing decisions that are made online, according to Google, are made on a mobile device. That's a big chunk of your potential customer base.
So how do you grow your business? How do you reach out to different companies, and what kinds of companies are you working with?
I've worked with a very wide range. I've worked with medical. I've worked with small brick and mortar stores. I work for musicians internationally. My current project is for a private jeweler in Dunwoody who is going to be launched in a couple of days. His website was not mobile friendly. Now it is, or it will be once I get it on its new host. There's a lot of word of mouth involved because there's a personal relationship and a trust and an exchange between what I'm developing for and, you know, the person with the business. So if someone likes my work, they refer me to others. I'm also accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Many people find me that way. And, of course, I reach out on social media.
How competitive is that particular space when you talk about web design?
Well, the industry is saturated with a lot of different people. You've got people who are beginners who only understand one form of technology. I happen to come from a time when you couldn't be that compartmentalized. You really had to explore different sorts of technologies, different sorts of content management, different sorts of code to match the right one to the right customer. So, there's a lot of work out there if you know where to find it.
Sure.
But there's a lot of different kinds of web developers, and it's important to a business owner to make sure that you're working with somebody who's on your wavelength and understands your needs and is willing to match technology to your needs instead of forcing your business to fit a mold.
For SDOC, is there any client that's too big or too small for you?
I haven't met one yet.
So you're going anywhere, anybody who has a need.
Anybody who has a need. Like I said, I've worked for musicians around the world on their e-commerce. I just finished a website for Learning on the Log, a school in Sandy Springs that services special needs children. And I'm in the process of working on their online registration system. That'll be the largest single website to date. I've organized entire servers with hundreds of websites on them. So it depends on the needs, and it's priced accordingly.
Before we move on, talking about being involved in the community, tell me about Dunwoody Working Girl.
The Dunwoody Working Girl was a blog that I had started to promote my work and my insights on changes in the website design field. And then I started adding commentary on community issues and community events. There's a lot of commentary on there, and any city council member listening to this is a little sick of hearing me talk about home businesses and their operators, and that's where that came from. It started out as simply promoting business, but then as I learned more about the local businesses I was working for, I learned the issues that they faced and began discussing those as well.
And the name of the site, a shout out to a fantastic movie from the 1980s.
That's exactly where I got the idea from, was the movie Working Girl from the late 80s. It is one of my favorite pictures. The message in the story is, in business, you can be human or you can be inhuman. It's always a choice.
There you go. Adrian Duncan from SDOC Publishing Internet Solutions. They're online, sdocpublishing.com. They're on Facebook at facebook.com/Dunwoody Working Girl or on Twitter at SDOC Publishing. Adrian, we appreciate you being here.
Thanks so much. It's been great.
So let's talk with our second guest, Jennifer Moore, again, the team leader for Keller Williams Realty Midtown, managing partner of the Moore Commercial Group. Talk to us a little bit about the corporate culture there at Keller Williams.
Certainly. The culture in Keller Williams is just unbelievable, and it's what draws me to Keller Williams. It's what initially attracted me to Keller Williams is it's about values and creating a culture around a business and a purpose that matters for people in the community. So if I have something that is purposeful and value-centered, then I can rally around that and I can create my business based on goals and objectives and move forward with that. And we come from a culture that believes in giving where we live. So what started this whole conversation of me becoming the team leader was we were doing a volunteer day, which we call Red Day, which is a national day that every Keller Williams agent rallies around a cause in the community, and we give where we live. And there was a mound of mulch, and we had to get it together and, like, let's move this mound of mulch together. We had an hour and a half left in the afternoon, and you give me 10 minutes, let's make this happen together. And we created this unbelievable park and play area for a local school here that was in need. And to see the people come together and to work together, there's just nothing greater than that.
So I think you mentioned, 200,000 Keller Williams realtors. Is that in America, worldwide?
That's in America right now. We are a worldwide company, and we are growing exponentially. I just got back from Mega Camp, and it was noted that that's not average agent camp, it's mega agent camp, because we are not an average company. We are a mega. It's easy to be average.
Yeah.
It takes effort to be unbelievable, and that's what we are.
And so what's the presence here in Metro Atlanta? What's the presence at the office that you run?
In my office, we currently have 119 agents.
Wow.
The Decatur office here has 158 agents, I believe. Our OP, which is Rick Hale, owns 5 agents in the metro area. It's an unbelievable presence.
How does that work? I mean, some are doing commercial real estate, I would imagine. Some are doing residential, you know, whatever. Are they competing against each other? Are they working together? How does that work?
That's the beautiful thing about Keller Williams is there's enough for everybody. There's truly enough for everybody. So KW Commercial is an arm of Keller Williams. So people say, what is commercial? It's a very different part of real estate. And Holt Moore, my husband, he's my partner with our group, with Moore Commercial Group. And he always says, you don't want a podiatrist working on your heart. Hmm. You want a specialist.
Right.
So KW Commercial has specialists who specialize in commercial real estate. So whether that be retail or industrial or leasing or investment, it's a very different ballgame. And it's a different language than understanding the lingo with buying and selling a home. And it's a different client that you're going to deal with in buying and selling a home. Buying and selling a home is a very emotional process. I remember buying my first house. That's scary. It's exciting. It's a big decision. It's a big leap. And that's a very different search than taking someone out to look at investment opportunities or starting their own business. And what does a lease look like? And what are the pitfalls of a lease? And you need to be an expert in your field, know what you're talking about.
You're listening to The Cab Business Today on The Cab Business Radio. Matt Holmes talking with Jennifer Moore from Keller Williams Realty, managing partner of Moore Commercial Group. So talk a little bit about your role there at Moore Commercial Group and understanding that, you know, you're in a changing role, I guess it is, really recently.
I am. So with Moore Commercial Group, Holt Moore is my other partner, obviously, and then we also have a team. We have an assistant and we have a leasing manager. We have a full team. So in that role, I came in and set up all the models and systems. If you're going to have big goals, you got to have big models and big systems. And that's one of the beautiful things about Keller Williams, and which makes Keller Williams different than other brokerages. Rather than just being a real estate agent, we build a business. And what does that look like? And a lot of people who come into real estate, we come into it because we're entrepreneurs. So we want to move you from E to P. Entrepreneur to being on purpose, mm-hmm. and having a plan. And what does a plan look like? And a business can operate whether I'm there or not. If I'm an agent, I got to be there every single day. I can step away from the Moore Commercial Group into my new role and leverage what I have created because I have systems and models in place. And I'm always looking to replace myself. So I want to hire from within. I want to grow and develop my team to be the best that we can be. And then I can go on vacation and not have to worry about my business. It has the pillars, a foundation to be able to stand up without me being present every day.
That's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling.
How have things changed since you took on that role as team leader?
Wow. Well, it's only been 4 weeks, so I'm still brand new. Maybe we can have this conversation again in 3 months or six
sure.
months. I was gone to Austin last week for mega camp, and it truly is like the fire hydrant was let loose, and it's so many unbelievable ideas and concepts and ahas, mistakes that people make, how to overcome those mistakes, how to create the biggest business, the best business, whatever that looks like for you, and understanding, getting very clear about what my big why is, which is a common question in Keller Williams. You know, why do you want to be in real estate? Why do you want to have your own business? Why do you get up every day? What keeps you motivated when there will be a shift in the cycle, which we will see in 2017? There will be a shift. We've had an unbelievable boom, seller's market, prices have been unbelievable. And I mean, if you've had a pulse, you've made some money in real estate the past 2 years.
Sure.
But I also remember 2007, 2008, 2009, and we survived those days too. The reason we survived is because we had strong models and systems in place.
Before we move on, commercial real estate, residential real estate, I would imagine there are different ways that you, Keller Williams, a household name, but you can't survive on name alone. So there are different ways I would imagine that you appeal to new clients and get people to select Keller Williams, whether it's a business or whether it's just a regular homeowner.
Exactly. So the beautiful thing about Keller Williams is that Keller Williams allows you to create your own branding. So just like Moore Commercial Group is under KW Commercial, but it's still branded as Moore Commercial Group.
Mm-hmm.
So you brand yourself and who your business is, and that's based on your own values. And in that branding and marketing, you're going to attract the clients who you want to work with. Like attracts like.
Yeah.
So there's always enough for everybody, and it's not a sense of competition. When if I'm not a good fit for you, I'll find somebody who is going to meet your needs. I had a call yesterday, a client looking for someone who was a numbers person, was going to work with spreadsheets, and understanding who your agents are, understanding who's on your team, that's imperative. And to pair that person with another agent who can work to those needs and those strengths.
Jennifer Moore from Moore Commercial Group, Keller Williams Realty as well. MooreCommercialGroup.com is the website. You'll find her on LinkedIn. We appreciate having you here today.
Thank you for having me.
So Diane, our third guest, Diane Conklin, Complete Marketing Systems, your job basically is to go to businesses and go to entrepreneurs and tell them what they're doing wrong and how they can do it right, basically, or how they can do it better. Is it always well received?
Well, you know, it's not about what you're doing wrong. I love what all the things that Jennifer said is what I teach. It's what I, you know, the whole, one of the things I talk so much about is, do you own a business or do you own a job, right? Mm-hmm. Because nobody that I know that's a business owner started out because they wanted a job. Now, am I the person that will walk in with some tough love and tell you these are the things you need to change? And if you want to grow your business or if you want to become a business instead of owning a job, yeah. But you know, it is well received because I understand that not everybody wants me to be in their face. Not everybody wants that direct communication as much as I like doing it that way. And so sometimes you have to deal with things, in a different way than that direct approach in order for people to understand what you're saying and that you're really trying to help them grow their business. So I try not to ever go in and say, here's the 12 things you're doing wrong, but you know, to sort of use the sandwich approach. You're doing this right, we can improve on this, and here's something else that you're doing really right. And once you get your foot in the door, then, you know, we can look at the other 12 things.
So what's the number one challenge that businesses are facing? I mean, there's a lot of different businesses out there, but there has to be some similarity.
Yeah, you know, one of the big things is implementation. The bottom line is that, you know, the buck tends to stop with me, right, on my desk, right? Well, why isn't this done? Well, because, Diane, you haven't given me back the stuff I needed to do to get that finished, right? And so it comes down to, I mean, we could talk about leverage, we could talk about systems, we can talk about a lot of different things, but the bottom line is that so many business owners just simply don't implement enough. And part of it is because they're overwhelmed. I mean, let's face it, right? I mean, how many new social media things came out in the last 30 days, right? There's like Periscope and Blab and I'm like, oh my gosh, and that alone can make people pull their hair out, right? And so the fact of the matter is, if you have systems in place to deal with that, right? If you have somebody, a professional working on your web stuff and somebody working on your social media, and I know what people are saying, oh, Diane, you know, you're making money and I'm just starting out. If you treat your business as if it were a big business when you first start, then you will put the appropriate systems in place and never have to feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do because I treated it as a big business even when it was just me.
And you have to have a business plan as well.
Well, so this will stick some knives in some people's sides. I don't believe in business plans.
Really?
Unless you're going to go to the bank and ask for money, you don't need a business plan. You don't need a five-year plan. What you need is a marketing plan because your marketing plan will drive your business. And let's face it. You know, if you sit down right now, which is something I'll do at my event coming up, we'll do this marketing plan. We'll do a 12-month plan. And people go, well, Diane, I don't know what I'm doing in December of 2016. Yeah, you do. If you put out an electronic newsletter or you do a radio show every week or whatever those things are that you already know, I have clients who are already booked for speaking opportunities into 2017, right? So you put it on a calendar and you look at it. And we look at your financial plan and we say, this is how much money you want to make this year. Break that down per month. And what do you have to do every month, promotion-wise, product-wise, services-wise, whatever it is, depending on the business, in order to meet that goal? Now, I know that sounds really like left brain. Oh, my gosh, Diane, you're like. But it's a fun, innovative, creative process that most people have never gone through because they're throwing mud on the wall instead of following that plan. I mean, it's an amazingly free feeling to walk into your office every day and know that whether it's virtual or a real office, to know that everybody on your team knows exactly what they're supposed to be doing that day because it's on the marketing calendar and everybody can just go do their thing.
This is DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio. We're talking with Diane Conklin. And you mentioned earlier, Diane, owning a business versus buying a job. What do you mean?
Well, you know, again, here's the way I differentiate it. which is something Jennifer just said, right? If I can leave the office, if I can be gone for a week or 2 weeks, and I like to use the 2 week time period because it's a stretch for most people, mm-hmm. right? And when I come back, I have as much money in the bank, if not more. There's been no catastrophes, and I haven't had to be on my phone, right? My mobile device, texting or calling the office every 10 minutes, right? Every hour, even every day, right? Can you walk away, shut your brain off, have some real downtime, and have that business sitting there when you get back, at least the same or better? If you can do that, you own a business. If you can't do that, you own a job. And I often say to people, you know, it's amazing with brick and mortar businesses. They have systems for turning on the lights, but they have no GPS in their business for how much money they make. Most small business owners, if the goal is $100,000 a year, okay, and by the way, 96% of all business owners will never see six figures. My mission in life is to turn that around, that 96% of them will. But I do know that a large majority of the people in a room when I speak, if you ask them how much money do you have to make every month to make $100,000 in your business this year, 98% of them have no idea, which is crazy to me. How do you know where you're going? You don't know how to get there if you don't know where you're going.
And you mentioned the idea that to have a successful business, you need to be able to unplug for a while and go on vacation. I've had bosses before who maybe they could unplug, but they won't let themselves. Bosses who they won't take vacation out of the country because they want to have their cell phone there. Adrienne's pointing at herself. Is that healthy?
It's called you're a control freak. Welcome to Entrepreneurism 101, right? That's what it boils down to. It boils down to two things. You're a control freak, which is why you're an entrepreneur for most of us, right? It also boils down to this fact that if you're a solopreneur, you're in the worst possible position because you have to do all the work. That means you own a job. Mm-hmm. Now, look, I'm also the person that's going to say to you, there are people who that's what they want. If that's what you want, knock yourself out, right? I have a friend in Vegas. She makes $500,000 a year. She works from 9 to 3, Monday through Friday. And that she's good. She's just maintaining. She's not growing. And I say, if that's what you want, that's what you should do. The problem comes in when you want something else and you can't get it because you're not leveraged, because you don't have team, technology, automation, and those kinds of things, which is what holds you to the business. If you have to sit in front of the computer every day, if the business is dependent on you to make money, you own a job.
Adrienne, you run a tech-based business. I would imagine that your iPhone or whatever has to be tethered to your hand more so than a lot of other business-type people.
It's tethered to me when I want it to be.
Okay.
I began writing websites professionally because it's something that I love doing. I love the creative aspect. I love the learning aspect. And most of all, I love watching my customers succeed. I'm in a position where when I set up a website correctly, it runs and I don't get phone calls because it runs. It works. There's no bugs. It's not crashing. It's fine. So if I want to be on my phone looking at something, or I mean, I could be sitting in the shower thinking of ideas of how to make this client's website better. That's my choice. That's mm-hmm. something that I do. I'm doing what I love doing.
Jennifer, are you able to unplug in your business managing that many people?
Certainly. Actually, travel is one of our big passions. So we travel internationally 3 to 4 times a year.
Wow.
We've been to Montreal and Puerto Rico and St. Thomas, St. John's. I've actually been to Canada 3 times this year, in the past 2 years, actually. One time was last year. So vacation is important to us. That's what feeds our spirit. Mm-hmm. We're really into our energy plan and our values and what's most important to us. And Gary Keller wrote this book years ago, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent. And he has in there about being value-centered. And Diane talked about not having a business plan. Having a marketing plan is a business plan. And we in the Millionaire Real Estate Agent book, he teaches us one of the models is a budget model. And it's based on how much money I want to make. That means how many, and then I break that down into how many appointments I need to have, how many calls I need to make, and what is my conversion rate. Well, if I want to go on vacation and I know that I still have to make this amount of money this month, then I'd need to get in those calls or have those appointments before I leave. But I can certainly step away and take my vacation because that's important. It's about I want to create a life worth living, not just a business. I want my business is supporting my life. So in the values that the Millionaire Real Estate Agent teaches, it's God, family, business. So what does my spiritual life look like, which is very important to me, to get up and meditate and pray and journal and do my thing. And I'm a marathon runner, so I time block for that. We're going to Jackson Hole next weekend. I have a marathon, so that's very important to me. So I'm going to get my run in, mm-hmm. and spending time with my family. I need my hugs and kisses and my time with my family. And I'm a vegetarian, so I take time to make our green smoothies. And I know that green smoothie makes green money for me because it fills my body with good fuel that I need to last throughout the day, to be able to show up and run my business, to make my phone calls, to make my appointments, and so that I can go on vacation and take a step back.
That's a great way to look at it. As we start to wind down a little bit, I'd be remiss if I didn't note that we've got three all female, very successful entrepreneurs around the table. I know it's 2015, post-gender society or whatever, but is that true? Are there special challenges in running your own business as a woman in 2015? Adrienne, we'll start with you.
Well, I don't know about running my business specifically. I think it's, P&L statements don't have gender. What in my business particularly, though, the gender of your audience, of your website audience, matters in how you design it, because men's and women's brains are wired a little bit differently for the type of design elements that they connect with and respond to. So my design philosophy for, say, the Atlanta Panhellenic, a collection of sororities, is going to be very different than, say, a hardware store gearing toward, your average weekend warrior.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jennifer?
So I have found in the commercial world in the South, there are still some challenges. Mm-hmm. I would be remiss if I said, oh, no, it's all peaches and sunshine.
Sure.
I think that it's imperative that I know the language and that I be very well versed. And so as a leader, I think that it's very important to leaders are readers. So I spend a good deal of my time reading and investing in my own training so that I can talk the language and I know what I'm talking about. So there's a level of competence. So, one of the things that we talk about is not knowing what you don't know. I don't know what I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I need to make sure that I know, so that I'm not unconsciously incompetent, and I need to be the best at what I'm talking about. So if I'm going to show up to do a lease, if I'm going to show up to recruit an agent, if I'm going to show up to help you create a business model, a marketing plan, I need to know what I'm talking about. So I think it's very important for women to educate themselves so that we know what we're talking about.
Diane, you've got this implementation event coming up in October. You're going to have 50-some entrepreneurs, business owners, some men, some women. Are there special challenges for the women out there?
You know, one of my big things is unity, integration, and acceptance. And so while I would love to tell you that there aren't any challenges, whether you're a woman, whether you're black, whether you're gay, whether you're transgender, whether you're whatever, the bottom line is it's a fantasy at this point in the world. Look at the major headline in the paper, gay black man. It's not just a man that did something, right? So that's how, and I get that they're just adjectives, but yeah, there are all kinds of challenges. The way I've always looked at it is I can make them an obstacle and put them in my way, or I can just continue being me, working in my way, being direct, doing my thing, and the right people are going to be attracted to me. And so, there are people who I put challenges. Sometimes we put challenges in front of ourselves that don't have to be there. It's very interesting. So, you asked the question, so I'm just going to put it out there. As a gay woman, mm-hmm. right? As a gay woman with someone who's with a partner who's black and has three children, are there more challenges now than there used to be? Yeah, there are. They're not my challenges. They're challenges that other people have. And so the way I look at it is those are their issues. If they want to make them their issues and keeps them from doing business with me, that's their choice, not mine. And quite frankly, this is going to sound arrogant, but it's their loss. I can focus on that, or I can focus on going out and affecting the people that I can affect and helping them the people who want my help, and that's what I do. I don't focus on the things that make us different.
Well, guys, it's been a great conversation. We've appreciated having you here. Again, our guest, Adrian Duncan, the owner of SDOC Publishing Internet Solutions. They're online at sdocpublishing.com. Follow them on Twitter at sdocpublishing. And, of course, the blog, Dunwoody Working Girl. Jennifer Moore, the team leader for Keller Williams Realty Midtown and the managing partner of Moore Commercial Group. MooreCommercialGroup.com is the website there. And Diane Conklin, president and founder of Complete Marketing Systems. They're online at CompleteMarketingSystems.com, on Twitter at Diane Conklin. And Diane, again, the implementation event, October 8th through the 10th.
Yep. And the easiest way to find information about that is just go to implementationcoachingevent.com. And if you have an interest, all the information is there. If you want to get more done in 3 days than you have in the last 90, that's what it's all about. And if you enter the code special for your listeners, enter the code Diane in all caps. That's D-I-A-N-E, only one N. You'll get $200 off. And there's a 3-payment plan. And here's the deal. Come spend 3 days with me. If you're not 100% happy, I give you your money back.
And there you go. Can't beat that. Well, we appreciate having you guys here. We'll be back next Friday here on DeKalb Business Radio. We'll also be out at the DeKalb Chamber of Commerce Golf Tournament on Monday, August 31st at Druid Hills Country Club. So if you're out there, stop by and say hi. Get yourself interviewed. We'll be out there broadcasting as well. Until next time, for executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you later here on DeKalb Business Today.